Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Lord, now through your word and by your spirit, speak to our hearts. Transform us by the renewing of our minds. Make us more like Jesus, for it's in his precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. This week we're talking about what it means to be holy. And unfortunately, that word has taken on a negative connotation in our culture. If you've ever heard somebody referred to as holier than thou, that's never a good thing. But that's not the intention behind God's call that we who trust and follow Jesus would be holy. No, being holy in God's economy doesn't mean being angry, judgmental, and mean-spirited. Being holy in God's economy means being anything but that. It means being more like Jesus. Jesus is the picture of perfect holiness, and Jesus was attractive to people. People were compelled by seeing love personified, the love of God there before them. And that's what God calls us to as we live our lives as those who trust and follow Jesus. So I want to invite you to look with me at 1 Peter. We're going to look at chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 13 through 25. And so here's what I want to do. I want to read the whole passage first as we consider what does it mean to be holy, and then we'll kind of walk through it. So I'm not even going to give you the theme just yet. I want to ask you to look with me at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 25. The Apostle Peter is writing this letter to Christians who are scattered all throughout the Roman Empire, and he's doing so as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit. And he says this, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like a flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you." Just like in his time with Jesus, Peter doesn't mince words. He gets straight to the point. He's told his readers that they have been, through Jesus Christ, born again to a living hope. And this hope transcends the moment that they are living in now, that they are currently in exile, waiting for their home in heaven to be prepared for them. As Jesus said, he would go before them to prepare a place for them. And if you trust and follow Jesus, he has gone before you to prepare a place for you. And so the way Peter puts it, that we who trust and follow Jesus, who are still living in this world, are currently in exile, but one day we will be called home. So look with me again at the first verse we read, verse 13, and that'll lead us to our theme. 1 Peter 1:13, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The theme is this: live like heaven is your home. Live like heaven is your home. That if you're in Jesus Christ, this world is not your home, heaven is. Heaven is the presence of God where every tear is wiped away. Every sin is no longer a struggle because it's gone. There's no more sorrow and no more pain, but there is only joy in the presence of our God and Savior. Well, if we are citizens of a heavenly home, What Peter's saying is we ought to live like that now. So set your mind, set your heart, set your life to God. That's what it means to be holy, that we live set apart to God. We mentioned on Sunday that the opposite of holy is just common, just like everybody else, common every day. And when we're thinking about the temple and we're thinking about the tabernacle and the elements that were set aside to be holy unto the Lord in those contexts, they were anything but common. And God didn't just call elements of his worship to be holy. No, he called his people to be holy. And he still calls his people to be holy. That's what Peter's saying. So if heaven is your home, and if you trust and follow Jesus, heaven is your home, live like it. Well, how do we do that? Well, look with me at verse 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. The first point that I want to give us tonight is this: live set apart to God. Live set apart to God. That if you trust and follow Jesus, you have been saved. That means you have been regenerated, born again, born from above. That means you have been justified, and that means that God has declared you righteous because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross and through his resurrection. He has finished the work of your sanctification, or your justification, rather. That he has adopted you into the family of God, and he calls you his child. And it is only through Christ that we become children of God. All people are creations of God, and God opens his arms to receive any who would come to him through Christ, that they might become his children. So there is an objective distinction that those who trust and follow Jesus are the children of God, adopted by grace into the family of God. And you are on a trajectory of sanctification. And what we often forget is that we who have been saved by Christ are still being saved. It's been made complete because of the finished work of Jesus, but we're being made more like Jesus along the way. In other words, God is not only preparing our heavenly home for us, he's preparing us for our heavenly home. And so he has said, be holy. I am holy, God says. And that may be the most fundamental definition of who God is. He is completely set apart. He is completely other. He is not common in any way. And we who trust and follow Jesus are called to live that way as well, to live as those whose sin has been forgiven and who have been brought into the family of God. So, not only have you been declared to be justified because of what Jesus did through the cross and resurrection, no, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are being sanctified. You are being made holy by the continual work of God in your life. So live that way. Live uncommonly. Live like your God. Now look with me at verse 17. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. The second point tonight is this: live as one who has been redeemed. Live as one who has been redeemed, that has been ransomed. There was a price that had to be paid for you. And there was a price that had to be paid for me. And it was a heavy price. We talk about in the church that salvation is the free gift of God. In fact, the Bible says that salvation is the free gift of God in Jesus Christ. Well, it's free to us, but it was not free to God. No, our salvation cost God the life of his Son. That he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So our freedom in Christ was so costly to God. Because of his great love for us, he came after us and he sent his Son for us. And that was the price of our redemption. So if we have been redeemed at such a great cost, we ought to live as those who have been redeemed at such a great cost. That we should live as those for whom a great price has been paid, and that price is the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So live like you've been redeemed. I'll never forget When I was getting ready to leave for college, my grandmother was still alive. She's gone home to be with the Lord since then. And my grandfather had passed away just a couple of years before. But my grandmother lived near to a fraternity house. If you're from Bowling Green, you may know that there's, it's not that anymore, but it used to be called A&W, or a drive-in restaurant over there off Old Morgantown Road, and there was a fraternity house nearby. I can't even remember which fraternity it was, but my grandmother lived relatively close by, and she had to pass by the fraternity house every time she went home. And she told me, she put her finger out like a good grandmother ought to, and she said, "Don't you get up there and forget who you are." Well, what was she communicating? She had seen some things go on at the fraternity house that perhaps she didn't want for me. That's not saying there wasn't good there. I'm just saying she had seen some things she didn't like. And what she was trying to communicate was this: live according to your identity. What that meant for her was live out the identity of our family. But it even went deeper than that. Don't forget that you are a child of God. Live that way. Live as one who has been redeemed. That's exactly what Peter's saying here. So during this time of your exile, when you are not yet at home, live as one who has a heavenly home awaiting, as one who is a citizen of glory. Well, now let's look at verse 20. He was foreknown, Jesus was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. The third point, live as one whose faith and hope is in God. Live as one whose faith and hope is in God. I was struck the other night yet again by this notion that as you look through the Gospels and the account of Jesus' life, you notice a couple things. Number one, you notice that Jesus is never scared. He's never scared. Even when he's getting ready to go to the cross, he's not scared. Now, was there great stress upon him? Yes, such that his sweat was as drops of blood. It was a profoundly stressful moment, but he wasn't scared of it, because he knew that ultimately God was in charge, and as awful as the cross would be, the resurrection was coming, and justification for all who are in Christ was coming, and he was getting ready to pay that price. He wasn't scared. He wasn't afraid. He also never seemed to get stressed. Have you ever noticed that about Jesus? Aside from the stress of the Garden of Gethsemane, recognizing what was impending, he didn't get stressed over life situations. I wish I could say the same thing about me. Oh, there are times when I'm afraid. There are times when I get stressed. The other thing I noticed about Jesus, he never panicked. No, not once. Not one time did he go, "What are we going to do?" I mean, how crazy would it be if he had? He didn't. He would ask his disciples questions like, "Where are we going to buy bread for all these people?" Because he was trying to take them to a new level of understanding the kingdom of God. But he didn't panic because they didn't have bread, because all he needed was nothing. But he was able to use a couple of loaves and some fish and multiply that to feed the multitudes. He didn't panic. So if my trust and my hope and my faith is in God, then increasingly I ought to live more like Jesus. That's the challenge that I have for me. Lord, help me to live more like Jesus. Help me to live as one whose faith and trust and hope is centered in my relationship with you. How different would our lives be if our faith truly dictated the way that we acted? Well, I believe that's what God wants for us. We live as those whose faith and hope is firmly rooted in God. And then here's how. Verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So the fourth point tonight, and the final point, is live according to God's word, which endures forever. Live according to God's word, which endures forever. You notice that it comes back again to brotherly love. that if you're going to live out this word, then you're going to live it within the context of community. And so you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you should love your neighbor as yourself. You should love as Jesus did, who said, love one another as I have loved you. And how does he love? He loves in pure holiness, and he loves in utter relentlessness. My goodness, if you look through the Gospels and you see the ways in which Jesus loved people, he loved some people that were hard to love, and I'm so glad for that, because you know who else has been hard to love? Me. And I have a hunch that you might have been a little hard to love yourself, but God loves us nevertheless, and he loves us to a degree that we cannot understand. But for those of us who trust and follow Jesus, who have been cleansed, who have been redeemed and ransomed through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose trust and faith and hope is rooted firmly in Almighty God, he calls us to love one another in that way as well. And he calls us to live in holiness according to the Word of God. And I don't know if you ever thought about it this way, but the way you treat other people is a function of your holiness. The way that you treat other people is a function of the fact that you have been set apart to God. And so many times we are all guilty of slipping into rage. And again, I can't remember a time when Jesus was just rage-filled and hateful. He always knew God was in control. Do you know what Rome was? It was corrupt. It was immoral. They made decisions that were not based on the Word of God. And even in that context, Jesus was love personified. Now, he always stood in the truth. Always stood in the truth. He never lied to anybody. He never softened the Word of God. No, he magnified the Word of God. But he did it in love. And you know what America is in 2020? We live in a great nation, but there's a lot of immorality. There's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of struggles. I don't think I'm telling anybody anything you don't already know. And we are called to be like Jesus. In this context. In fact, I believe we're here for such a time as this. God has caused us to live during this time and in this place on purpose. And the way that we live out that purpose is by living according to God's Word. And if we would live out God's Word, man, the world would be a different place. It really would. This is not a weapon to hurt people. It is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And you know what swords are principally used for? Defending. But it is the sword of the Spirit, not a weapon to be used against people. But it is the Word of God that cuts the dead things out of us and cuts the life in. Unbelievable what God has done through His Word. So the grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of God endures forever. So how do we live lives set apart to God? Well, we read the Word and we live accordingly. And we recognize that we are citizens of heaven, so we live like it. I pray that we do that this week. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father, in a world that is uncertain and in a world that is imperfect, we look to you, our certain and perfect God. And we pray that you would help us. Help us to live lives that glorify you and bless others around us. Help us to live lives of holiness, lives that are set apart to you. And we know that as we live those lives of holiness, we will be a blessing to those around us. We're so thankful that holy doesn't mean angry, judgmental, and mean-spirited, but rather holy means set apart to God. And it always comes back to brotherly love, that we would live out our holiness in the context of love for one another. So help us do that this week. And before we go, once again, we join our hearts and our minds and our voices together to pray the words of that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, and in so doing, we will answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in to worship with us tonight. And we hope you'll join us for this Friday night's virtual Vespers, where we look at the story behind the song, Holy, Holy, Holy. Join us then. God bless you.